coffee looks weird.
Well, there's not much milk, is there?
Mm.
Not very nice.
It's fine. Yeah. It's definitely decaf.
Definitely decaf.
Okay.
I mean, you don't need full... It's not full bar.
Yeah.
Mine's full bar.
Okay.
We've started, by the way.
Okay.
To tune in, it's Sunday morning. Sit back, relax, we'll talk it through. Brew with the Bennis and you.
Hello.
1, 2, 2, 2,
shut. Noise.
Give us a 1, 2, Gemma.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1 Sunday.
It's that was like getting punched in the face
with an
it's
Sunday morning. It means only one thing, that you need to open up your ear flaps.
Flaps.
And listen to Brew with the Bennetts. It's a podcast. That's right, folks. It's not a radio show. It's a podcast.
Yeah.
A cast of pods.
Do people know what podcasts are? Because, I mean, there's not many out there, is there?
I know. I mean, just like, you know, it's not like the market is saturated.
That market is as saturated as a toweling nappy on an overhydrated child on a Bridlington beach.
It is. And the thing is, it makes it even more of a reason to say thank you for listening.
Thanks
for choosing us.
Oh.
We don't even care if we're at the bottom of a pile of 20 podcasts that you listen to. Thanks all the same.
Let's not do it down. Listen, mate.
Can we start again? Sorry.
It's better to be the underdog. People love an underdog. People fight for an underdog. The only problem is no one knows who the fuck an underdog is. But we are an underdog. We're crawling our way up. You know, the people at the top, what happens is...
We wouldn't do this.
What happens when you get to the top? No, listen. What happens when... Rocky 3. What happened in Rocky 3? He got to the top.
I can't remember. I know Rocky 4.
He got complacent. Yeah, he got complacent. And Mickey was like, you got to train, Rocky. You're taking your eye off the ball. You're not focused. There's people coming up behind you who are hungry, who are determined. I tapped you then.
Do you know what's funny? Yeah, you tapped me then, like, as in, like, Mum, watch me.
Watch me do.
Listen.
Watch
Mum,
me do my... Mum. I'm doing my impression.
I'd nodded off. I'd
come on,
I'm
in the bit. Shut up. Listen. I mean, you've got to be hungry. There's people coming up behind your lock who are charged up. And you, what you're doing? You're doing adverts. You're all over the place. You're getting your hair cut. And he was distracted, Gemma. And do you know what happened? Do you know what happened? Clubber Lang, who was the underdog, came in, knocked him out, became the, and then he had to work really hard. So what I'm saying is we are the Club of Lang. We're building our way up. And with these people, this pod army, the brew crew, the cult that we've got, we're going to go all the way to 116 in the United Emirates. We're going to crawl all the way to the top of the Greek podcast charts. Come on, guys.
Okay.
Get us to number one.
Yeah.
Anyway, good afternoon. Happy brew day.
And to that end, Yamos. Is Yamos hello in Greek?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Languages is not
anyway,
my strong point.
Anyway, so good morning. We hope this podcast finds you well.
Yeah.
It is May the...
Well, at the time of recording... Yeah, you see, you've bitten off more than you can chew there.
9, 10.
Yeah, don't do 11, it now because it's... 12, we're recording 13. It on the Monday.
Oh, it's Friday the 13th this week.
Yeah.
15th. It's Sunday the 15th
Sunday
of May.
Sunday the 15th of May. We're quite toasty here in the conservatory. I've opened
Sweat
up some windows.
Sweat me nads off, love. Sweat me nads
Have
off.
You got nads?
No.
I mean, I'm going to say it's about time you told me. You've hidden them well.
But yeah, it's really warm in here.
It is warm. We've opened up a couple of windows, so you might hear some bird song.
So I'm just drinking my hot cup of tea.
Why do we do that?
Apparently it cools you down.
No, it doesn't.
Cools you down.
No, it doesn't. It adds more hot liquid into your body. It makes no sense.
I don't know. But I'm enjoying it anyway.
I need the coffee for the perk up. I've got chinos on today.
Congratulations. How did this happen?
Because I feel like, you know, we've talked about me ruining jeans.
Yeah.
And we've talked about me splitting them because I'm buying them too tight because I don't like the cut of them.
Mm.
And I've bought three pairs of jeans and I'm not getting on with any of them. One of them's too heavy. It's like Goldilocks. One of them, the denim's too heavy.
Yeah.
One of them, they just look like the proper dad jeans. They look like I'm on a scout leader that's lost his kids.
Yeah.
And then the other ones, they're just a little bit baggy on the crotch. They look like I've soiled myself.
I'm sure they don't.
They don't look good. So anyway...
You way overanalyze jean wearing.
Well, I found some chinos that are sort of like a quite flattering cut. And I'm actually in trousers.
What, you
chinos.
Bought them?
No, I had them in the wardrobe and I've never worn them. So I think I've got the chinos because I talked about this before, about the crisis, the man hits a point.
Yeah.
There's no option for men. And I Googled it. There is an option for women, isn't there?
What?
It's called the mum's fit. Have you heard of this?
No.
The jean, the mum's fit.
I've heard of the boyfriend fit.
What's the boyfriend fit?
Oh.
Mum fit, boyfriend fit.
I think I have heard of the mum fit.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it is. It's the 90s mum jean. You'll see mum jeans are high-waisted with less stretch, like classic denim, cut to have a baggy fit, particularly over the bum and thighs. They then taper down around the ankles, creating the silhouette favoured by women in the 80s and the early 90s, such as Zoe Ball and... Cyndi Lauper. I've just added those two references.
I've heard of the mum fit.
Yeah.
I think Ali had some on.
So why don't we get a dad fit?
Mm.
We need a dad
fit. So what would the dad fit entail?
The dad fit would be looking... corset.
High-waisted, maybe. Maybe you need to go high-waisted like us.
With sort of...
Like a cowl kind of... Simon Cowell up to the ribs kind of fit.
What, like right below your tits?
Yeah.
The dad fit below the tits... Above the hips. That could be it.
Yeah.
Below the tits, above the hips.
Mm.
But then I'd like them to be like a corset so they make you look good.
Yeah.
And then when you sit down on the sofa, they pop with you.
Yeah.
You know, they go.
Or maybe just a bit elasticated over the paunch.
Well, someone said to me, start wearing tracksuits. No, because I thought that a man of my age doesn't wear. Do you know what? A man of my age, 43, wearing a matching velour tracksuit is tragic. It is. I mean, there's only
depends
one reference,
wear,
and he's just been arrested. Well, he's going to be arrested. Tim Westwood wore tracksuits.
Did he?
And he was in his 60s, and look what's happened there.
I can think of another fellow who used to wear
tracksuits. Of course, yeah. It's the uniform of the noncer, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm not wearing it. Listen, the thing is, with a full tracksuit, it looks quite tragic of a man of a certain age, doesn't it?
I'm not so sure.
It looks like you've been round your nephew's house, who's 12.
Yeah.
You've spilt some coffee in your lap.
Yeah.
And their mum's gone, there's nothing you can wear, but I've got this in his wardrobe. Pop this on and we'll drop you back at home, granddad. And that's what it looks like.
Well, I'm quite a fan of tracksuit trousers these days.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Would you wear a matching velour one like the Kardashians? Bottoms and tops. A lot of people wear them.
Oh.
I think you'd look quite good.
I don't know if I can pull that one off, you know.
I think you could. You look like a soccer mum.
Do you think so?
Stood at the touchline. Mm. Come on, Craig, you fucking lazy shit.
Start talking like Gemma Collins, don't I?
I got a soccer mum, ain't I? Do you want me to take yours out as well? In the people carrier. Get him in the back.
Don't know what that was.
I don't know. Just the idea of you being a soccer mum.
I do love a tracksuit bottom.
Well,
I like comfort.
Do you know what I think?
I like whacking on the old trainers, pair of tracky bottoms, a baggy jumper. Feel comfy.
Can I just say,
go on.
I think I know what the fit would be.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be tight in the legs at the bottom.
Oh, beg
careful.
Your pardon. You just did it.
I know, but you've got to drink over the pop shield.
Oh, dear.
I think it needs to be narrowing and tapering at the bottom for a man without being sort of baggy and flappy.
Okay.
And I think it needs to be straight cut, little bit of elasticated waist.
I think,
you know.
Didn't the boot cut come back a little bit though?
I don't like the boot. You put boot cut.
Do you remember boot cut?
They're like flares, man.
I know, but I couldn't wear a pair of trousers unless they were boot cut.
Uni was boot cut.
Do you remember?
Yeah. It was
like, boot cut was like, because we rebelled against the 80s tight trouser.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, not wearing them anymore. That's so
80s. Yeah.
And then now it's like, no, we want tight trouser back.
Tight trouser, low hip. But also as well, is like, when we were at uni, I didn't see my shoes for 4 years.
No, because of the boot cut.
Because of the old boot cut.
Yeah, you're right.
They wandering around looking like a 70s.
Yeah. I think the reason I like to boot
terrorist.
Cut is because I've got quite big feet and it makes your feet look smaller.
Right.
Whereas tight trousers that taper at the ankle, your feet... I feel like my feet are flapping around like elephant... clown shoes.
Do you know what I think?
I feel like I've got massive flippers
as
on
you walk in your head, do you hear...
That was awful. No, I don't hear that.
Oh,
it's dreadful.
Do you know what it is? I like the tapering because I like to look down, see my white shoes when I'm on stage, feel nimble, like Rudolf Nureyev. You know, like a ballet dancer, like nimble, nimble, nimble feet, nimble mind, fast, fast.
I see what you're saying.
And I think if you've got boot cut and flappy, you're a bit stoner and a bit, oh, maybe. Guys, let's just take our time. Whereas you want pop, pop, pop.
Well, do you know what? I think it's good to have strength of character to just wear whatever you want.
And that's what I haven't got. Someone's coming to value the house today, aren't they?
Literally, the, probably. Literally. Let's just look at the clock.
Oh, 4 minutes.
Probably, literally, as we speak.
They'll be walking around going, these people live like scum.
Yeah.
But obviously for this, for the money we're borrowing, isn't it? But do you know what made me laugh? When you were out, I did like a little cleaning burst, didn't I?
You did.
And it makes you laugh because you said, I have a cleaning burst.
You do.
And I think men do that.
Yeah.
I think I've noticed that. Men have to make a big ceremony of it.
Yeah.
So it has to be a big, like, moment. And you sort of said, I was flying round, sweating, just like, and then I do like cleaning, but you say it's not proper cleaning because I'm not.
But in all fairness, you did actually do quite a good job in the hallway.
I got on my hands and knees like Cinderella.
Yeah.
And I was scrubbing that floor.
Yeah.
Like, I'd want to go to the ball. I did feel quite like I was staffed.
The thing is, if we can just describe to you, basically, because we have only one room to live in at the minute, downstairs, and everything's in the hallway, and it's just so bad. So we decided, because we're having the house valued, we at least need to make some effort to make it look habitable.
Because you don't want their
habitable?
Habitable. You don't want their first impression to open the doors going, they keep crunchy nuts cornflakes on the stairs.
On the fifth stair.
On the fifth stair. What's on
So we've cleared the stairs.
Dirty people.
Just move stuff so it doesn't look
we've
so crowded.
We've put it all in one cupboard.
Well, not what was that? What was that?
I don't know.
You all right, love?
It was my la- it was the devil coming out there.
Oh, God.
I think it was. Do you know? But you said to me, it makes you laugh when I clean because you're like thorough and do a proper job, whereas I have a burst of energy.
And I haven't sort of done it for a long time. I've given up. I have literally, and that's not like me. That is not like me.
Yeah.
But I am tired.
Does it feel good though not to bother?
Sometimes it feels quite liberating.
Because you were known as Monica at university.
But then,
so this must be killing you.
But then it does feel quite liberating to just let it all, because it's not, you know, you're not going to die from a bit of mess. But sometimes now what I feel is I just don't know where to, you know, when it comes to actually being able to clean the house properly again, I don't know where I'm going to start. It's so bad.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go top to bottom.
Oh, right. Sorry, I thought you meant just...
Top to bottom.
I reckon a bit of naked cleaning is on the cards, isn't it? You're going to be naked cleaning.
I'm going to literally go from top to bottom.
Don't you think men reorganise and...
You just move.
Move things.
Hide
so you,
things.
Like, redistribute
you hide
crumbs
things.
And you, you...
But you did annoy me because you were like, you messed up the system we'd established. So, like, right. I went to bed with Sophia and you'd had a whip round in her room.
Yeah.
Just hiding stuff. And I was like, I said to her, where's your Veruca cream? Don't know, and I'm shouting, Scott, where's the Veruca cream? I've put it in the bathroom cabinet. What's he doing in the bathroom? That's no good, is it? Because I do a Veruca when she goes to bed.
Yeah,
she's got a Veruca, everybody. It's grim.
Picking at the seams.
Oh, no, she won't let me. She won't. Oh, she's so sensitive.
Wait till she falls asleep and whack it.
But anyway, and then, so you'd moved that. Then I was like, where's my blusher? Because I keep that in the hallway at the minute. On the,
it's with
it's
the
just it's a tiny pot of blusher that I just leave in the corner on the windowsill, just so in the morning I can slap a bit on in the mirror. Where's that gone? I've moved it to your cupboard up.
I did.
No,
put
that's
in my,
no good.
I put it in with the cutlery drawer. I did put it in.
You
my
just
places.
Hid it everywhere. I was just like, oh God, he's gone on his cleaning rampage. Moved everything.
It is like a rampage.
It's like when you clean somebody's desk at work. If you would ever dare do that, I don't think I would. But if I've said this before on the podcast or on the Shed Show, that sometimes as a teacher, you'll go into somebody else's classroom and their desk is hell. And you're just like, I really
you can't
want
sit
to tidy this.
Really?
But you daren't, because if they come back and it's tidy, they'll know that somebody's had a go.
Had a go at this.
And it's very personal, isn't it? It's like, it's your space. Mm. It's almost like, I guess, your bedside cabinet. If somebody came and messed with that, you'd know, wouldn't you? You'd be like, don't mess with
I'd
that.
I'd be like, thank you.
Don't mess with that.
Well done for wading through that.
Really?
Mine's just moisturiser and novels.
Yeah. What the hell? Are you all right there,
yeah, I've had this bad wheezy cough, not COVID, you have to say that now. But it does sound like I'm on 100 a day.
It does, don't it?
Sounds like I've been vaping coal.
It does, that was a real little tickle, wasn't it? Don't do that on purpose.
It's quite good a wheeze, though, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's not
it
good.
Sort of reminds me of like entertaining in the music halls in the
1970s. I feel like I'm doing a podcast with Dave Dawson. Yeah, stop it, stop it. Yeah, but anyway, enough.
What have you been up to this week, mate?
Let's have a think, shall we? I was just saying, I mentioned to a friend about, I think who we saw a kid fall over or something in the playground. This was after school. And
I think have you told me? I've just had massive deja vu.
No, I haven't told you this.
Is it because there's so many kids that fall over?
No.
I'm sure you've said this.
No, I haven't.
Go on, carry on.
So anyway, we were just saying that all the adults, we all went, you know how you do when you see a kid fall, you're going, ooh, you know, like an intake of breath. And then it makes it worse. If we'd have all just stayed, like, if you don't make the ooh sound.
The kids look to the adults.
Yeah. And then they think, oh, it's bad, so I'm going to cry really dramatically.
I think you're missing out one extra emotion. You go, oh, it's not mine.
Yeah, true.
That's the reality, isn't it?
But we all sort of went, ooh, like, you know, because they fell over and were like,
was it grazed knees?
I can't remember.
Grazed knees.
And no, I think it was winding. They were winded badly. And but because we all reacted, and then I said to my mate, I says, why do we do that? Because it always makes it worse. If you react badly,
yeah,
it makes the child react badly, I think.
What you should do is
if you could just go, get yourself up.
No, I think you should go, you idiot. I think you should all go, you idiot, mate.
No,
really coat them
you
off.
Can't do
you
that.
Clumsy git.
What, like when somebody drops a tray in a cafe?
Imagine a kid.
Sat the juggler.
Imagine a kid falls off the monkey bars at the end of school.
Yeah.
And the head teacher's in a high viz. And all the parents go, and the head teacher goes, why, you knobhead? Come on, it's for their own benefit.
Yeah.
It's for their own benefit. Yeah. You useless, clumsy git. Why, why?
Don't think they would do that.
See you at parents' evening. When was the last time you fell as an adult?
I fell... Oh, I know when it was. Do you remember when I met Antonella?
It was June the 9th.
No, I met Antonella and Catherine for some lunch in Birmingham.
Right.
It was one Saturday. And I...
You told me about this.
You dropped the kids off here.
I remember.
Because you got a gig. Yeah. And then I got the train back, so I was back for sort of tea time.
Yes.
And I was running up Station Road, and I slipped off the curb and went my full length, dropped my shopping and everything.
Shopping. Do you know what, though?
Cut a hole in my jeans on the knee.
Oh, my God, you did a proper fall.
A proper fall.
Do you know what?
And I was really shocked.
I think a fall with shopping is brilliant, because I can see stuff rolling, fruit going.
When I bought you that coaster that said My Shed or something on it, it was a porcelain coaster, and it didn't break. Because I was like, you know, when you rescue it, you like put your arm up.
You saved the coaster.
Yeah, saved the coaster.
Got hit by a banana.
But, oh, I looked
Did you
twat.
Go for... Did
Nobody
anyone
stopped
see,
to help
did
me.
Did anyone see you? No,
yeah, loads of people saw
Just
me.
Just what, stepped over you?
No, they didn't step over me, but nobody stopped to say, you all right?
Oh, that's annoying.
But I tried to style it out, you know.
There is... having an accident as an adult... I can't remember the last time I had a... I've done a few falls. I had it in Beeston once where I sort of like was rushing.
When you did your ankle?
No, this was more recent. I was sort of rushing and I had a coffee and I was rushing to the bank.
Yeah.
And you know when you half fall?
Yeah.
And you do that run
you
to recover?
You save yourself, yeah.
And it's like 60% falling, 40%
and
recovered.
And you really shit
and
yourself.
I managed to even hold the coffee.
Oh, God.
People were just looking at me. There was just a man sat on that monolith bit, just eating an ice cream, watching me, really enjoying it.
Yeah, it's weird.
I thought you were going to go there.
Yeah.
You just watched me fall, mate.
It's weird, isn't it?
But then who's going to help you? Who's going to help a grown adult up like a toddler? Come on. How old are you? 43.
Terrible.
Do you know where your mum is? Do you want me to rub
some lotion
into
it? It's horrible, though, isn't it? It is horrible. I hate it.
I think so,
I've seen a few people fall as well, like, and it's just horrible. Yeah, like you say, as an adult. I fell at running once as well. Went really over heavy.
Oh,
that were bad.
Do you know what someone told me once? I was at the Ipswich Regent Theatre supporting John Bishop. I'll just pick up that name I've dropped.
Yes.
And the last time I was there was doing Brydon. And they had a lighting rig. Now, they leave the lighting rig down until the show starts because they do all the bulbs and stuff. And then it goes up to the ceiling.
Yeah.
And the lighting rig had like bolts coming down. Like, but you couldn't see them because obviously the lights weren't on. And they always said when you got there... if you are walking out onto the stage mm. before the show starts, watch this lighting rig because there's bolts hanging down
mm.
and they're really sharp.
Mm.
Apparently, one tour support at another gig was walking about doing a fill, like, you know, you yeah. know, like you do,
yeah.
and they walked straight under at full speed and it hit them on the head and it cut their head open. Ooh. So bad. There was blood, you know, like horror film carry
yeah.
blood
yeah.
down their face. They couldn't do the gig. They had to go to the hospital and get stitched.
Oh, no. That's
imagine
terrible.
That. You can't do the gig because you've cut your own head open.
That's awful.
So, yeah.
That's terrible.
Stay safe, tour supports.
Yeah. But it made me think about when Liv knocked her front teeth out in Edinburgh.
Do you remember that?
Oh, God. We were just devastated.
Well,
weren't
it was. Do you know what the most annoying thing was? Is
what?
I've said this before, as a parent, perfect days are often punctuated by moments of despair.
Yes.
And I think the more perfect the day,
yeah.
the more despair the moment, like
yeah.
the more extreme that moment yeah. is. Because you're having a cracking time, aren't you?
Yeah.
And then normally something happens yeah. and you go, oh,
it
God.
Was. The sun was shining. We'd been to see Cat in the Hat.
How can you go from
yeah.
perfect?
Yeah.
How can you go from paradise
yeah.
to despair
yeah.
in 30 seconds? Yeah. Only with kids, guys. Yeah. If you want to know what that is, you've got to have children to experience
yeah.
being lurched. It's like being on a roller coaster of emotions
yeah,
from
is.
Happiness to misery
yeah.
in 0.6 of a second. It's like Rita, queen of shit.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Oh, God, here he goes again, wheezy boy.
Got popcorn lung. Anyway,
but
so,
yeah, so, she was...
so we, let's describe the scene. We're at the Pleasance Courtyard.
Well, I was trying to describe the scene.
Go, Gemma. I'm being a tit. I'm very excited.
But yeah, we basically in the Pleasance Courtyard, and she was just...
No, you've got to describe it more. The sun was shining.
Yeah, I said that. The sun was shining.
We'd all met up.
No, it's just me, you and Liv.
Yeah, they were all... Liv was so happy.
Yeah, she was. And then she was eating...
This is perfect, Daddy.
She was, no, she didn't say that, you knob. Anyway, she was sat on a bench having a yoghurt. And then next minute, she just slipped forward, didn't she? And just smacked her front tooth on the bench.
She'd gone.
And she was crying her eyes out. And I just thought she'd just fallen.
Yeah.
And so I picked her up and this chap behind me says, I think that's her tooth on the floor.
It was a Scottish accent.
And there was a
I think she's knocked her wee tooth out of you.
And it was a perfect front tooth, right from the root, the whole thing.
She'd done a perfect extraction.
Yeah, it was. Because then we had to take her to the emergency dentist.
But it didn't even bleed that much. She just
no, it did.
Oh, did it?
It did.
Just,
yeah, yeah.
But then she'd come up. She'd basically
face.
She was making jewellery. She was in a flowery skirt. She went down. She came up looking like a Glaswegian tramp. Missing tooth, screaming.
Oh, bless her.
And then
I was so upset about
it. Took her to the emergency dentist, and he said,
there's no you can do,
no,
but he did say
that.
She's done that really well.
If you were going to knock a tooth out.
Yeah, she's done it perfectly.
How she did it.
She's not caused any major damage
didn't
to anything.
Because teeth through lip was always a thing at school, wasn't it?
Yeah,
teeth
or damage lip. To the other one as well.
Yeah.
But then she was a gappy kid for like, because she was only three,
yeah.
so she had a gap till she was seven, didn't she?
Yeah.
Massive gap.
Came back,
but then it made me feel better the next day because I bumped into a mum at the BBC tent or wherever it was.
Potter Row. Do you remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and
used to play plastic banjos in
she,
there.
She, her little boy had knocked both of his out.
In Edinburgh?
No.
Oh,
but
right.
He got a massive gap.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh. She says, oh, yeah, he knocked his out ages ago. And I was like, oh, God, it made me feel slightly better.
I
cried that night. How pathetic is that?
I mean...
But I sat next to her while she was in bed looking at her little face because it made her... Because she sucked a dummy. She said it made it uncomfortable. And I was
she
like,
to go side, she was having to go side saddle.
That's what upset me.
Side saddle.
The most was the fact that she couldn't suck her dummy properly.
And she couldn't.
I was just like... This is awful.
And it ruined her smoking.
Oh, yeah.
She couldn't smoke in the same way. She had to do it off
yeah,
like your mum at the allotment.
It. Yeah, that's it, just hanging off.
I think as a kid, I smashed out teeth a lot, didn't I?
Yeah.
Smashed it out when my dad threw me up in the swimming
yeah,
baths.
Yeah, I cracked my tooth as well, playing peepo with my mum in front of the kitchen window, smacked my tooth on the outside tap.
Peepo bastard.
Shit.
On the outside tap.
Bad.
Bang. Straight down.
Yeah.
My dad throwing me up in the baths in the shallow end. That's completely irresponsible. Throwing me in the air.
Yeah, but
came down. There was no recovery.
No.
Smashed my tooth out.
Dear
me. He bought me a transformer to buy
my
silence.
Is that the tooth in front of me?
Yeah. It's still permanently not right.
Why?
Because it's always had like a little line there. And
is
then
it, is it capped?
It's capped, but they've had to replace it with more and more teeth.
Yeah, mine are. Mine's capped there.
Yours is immaculate. You've got good teeth, mate.
That one's capped though. That's a cap.
You still floss, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
And you still gargle.
Not every day,
I do floss. I find it an uncomfortable sensation.
It is, but it's quite... It,
I think I need to do it, though, with my teeth.
Yeah, you've got quite narrow gaps.
Yeah.
Do you know what happened, though, when I'd hit my face on the pool and I came up to the top?
Yeah.
I was crying. Yeah. I knew my tooth had gone because I could feel that sharpness with my tongue. And my dad said, that was your fault, that, because you didn't arch your back.
Oh, God.
Obviously, last week was the snooping thing.
Yes.
You were looking through blinds, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't make me realise this suspicion, moments of suspicion. And I have told this story before, but I want to tell it again. Do you remember that time when I was out for that walk in Preston? Do you remember this?
Yes, yeah.
Now, pretend you haven't heard it.
Okay.
Because you've got to look, seem interested.
Okay.
I know that's quite difficult for you to fake.
It's extremely hard, but carry on.
Gemma,
carry on.
No, all it is I think that society in general, we're quite suspicious of people, aren't
we? Yeah, definitely.
We are.
That's and I think that goes with dating as well.
What do you mean?
Like, I've said this before as well, but if you're a guy in a bar and you go and approach a woman to try and chat to them and it's completely innocent and you just think, I'm attracted to you, I want to chat to you, the woman would feel, most women might feel like, oh, you're a bit of a creep, which is unfair.
When would you have been dating? You haven't been dating.
No, I haven't, but my uncle Les was talking to me about it once.
Why is he dating?
No, but he was saying, like, in the 60s, if you were out for a drink and you saw somebody, the first thing that would attract you to somebody would be you'd make eye contact in a bar. And then it wouldn't be out the way to go and offer to buy them a drink. And
It was like a...
Whereas now, if you approach somebody in the bar and say, can I buy you a drink? Or, you know, they'd think, creep.
The rules
are blurred. You're overconfident or something. And I just think that's because things have changed, haven't they?
Yeah. Gemma, your wind
I've got hiccups.
What's wrong with you?
No, I've actually got hiccups.
Well, this is going to be entertaining.
Sorry, I'll just drink some water.
That never works. It's a nervous reflex.
They seem to have gone.
Okay.
It's quelled.
Quelled.
But yeah, so yeah, I agree that people are more suspicious. They think, that instead of thinking the best of people sometimes, they think the worst.
So I was out for this walk in this park in Preston. Yeah. It was about 2016.
Yeah.
And I remember it was a lovely day. It was like it was today.
Mm.
And it was this lovely, like, country park. Yeah. I was at a gig and I thought, I got there early.
Yeah.
And I
got thought, a bit you know time. What? Bit I'm of time to kill.
Yeah, I'm going to have a walk. I'm going to check out the Ribble Valley, which was Preston. And I was walking. So there's just me striding in my chinos, coat over the arm, bottle of water. I walk around this park bit, follow the trail, pass a bench. There's a load of cuffies there, a load of youth. With bikes, smoking weed, because you can smell it.
Yeah.
Skunk.
I love the smell of weed.
Lovely smell. And I walked past and they sort of looked, didn't look.
Yeah.
And I think I went morning or something, which is a proper not the.
Oh, you shouldn't have done that.
That was a stupid thing. I mean, morning.
That was an idiot.
I said it like I was strolling round Kew Gardens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Morning.
Yeah.
Youth. hey, you Rocksteady crew.
Yeah.
And I carried on walking, got to this bit and I followed the signs round.
Yeah.
Now the signs just said follow this trail.
Yeah.
So I followed the trail round and realised that I'd gone on like a short, you know, like sometimes you have a short loop and a long loop, don't you?
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing. So I'd done the short loop and I got back to the car and I thought that was only 25 minutes and I've got 2 hours to kill.
Yeah.
I'm going to go round again, but then I'm going to pick up the long loop.
Yeah.
So I went round again. So this is like another 25 minutes later, past the same people smoking weed.
Okay.
And as I passed them, he went, all right. And I went, yeah. And he started to walk alongside me and he went, good afternoon, officer. If I was a police officer, if I was an undercover police officer, I don't look at all cool.
No.
And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, why are you walking around the park? I was like, I'm not a policeman, mate. And he was like, well, what are you doing? I said, I'm just out for a walk. He was like, who does that? Who walks round the same room?
It probably felt a bit and then unusual
it was like, are you a pervert or something?
Oh,
I was like,
God.
No, I'm just out for a walk. And then as I was walking, he was following me down the hill and I thought, I can't go on the long loop.
No.
Because that's through the forest and I'm going to get killed.
Yeah.
So I had to go on the short loop again.
Oh,
but then
God.
I ended up just sitting on the bench for an hour because I didn't dare walk past them and I'd had nowhere to go. And I thought, do you know what's really annoying about that?
You got bullied out of your walk.
I got bullied out of my walk.
Yeah.
I got walk bullied.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it just shows you that a man of a certain age walking on his own, repeating some movements, is instantly suspicious.
Repeating movements.
I mean, repeating a lap.
It depends what kind of movements you repeat.
I mean, I was walking around with a stalk on, obviously. Yeah. But I was walking around. And then it did make me think, I thought, well, The only way you can avoid suspicion is if I'd have been in running gear and doing a slight jog.
Yeah. Or if you'd had a dog.
Not even a dog.
Why?
A dog lead. If I'd have just walked with a dog lead and gone, have you seen him?
Oh, good.
Have you seen him, lads? Have you seen him? Because he's off the lead.
So now...
Now there's no suspicion.
So from now on, you need a dog leading your car.
Or a pram. Empty pram.
An empty pram?
Yes, because you can walk for ages with a pram. They wouldn't have minded if I'd have walked past and I'd have gone, you're not sleeping.
Oh, right. So they can't see into the pram. If you're walking with an empty pram, you're going to look insane.
No stranger's going to come and bury their head in your pram.
They'd be like, look at that guy walking with a pretend
They'd
child.
They'd have been like, look at a lovely dad. He's a lovely dad trying to get his kid out for a walk. Yeah. I can relate. Yeah. So everything else would have been less suspicious than being on my own. If I'd have been hand in hand with a child, regardless if it was my child, still less suspicious.
Yeah.
I look more of a nonce walking on my own
than with a child.
Than with a child that isn't mine.
Yeah.
That is society in 2022.
That's true.
It's not right, is it?
What about if you've got some binoculars around your neck? Birdwatcher.
That's not popular.
Do you not think?
You'd be like, that's a nonce, mate. You've even got the glasses.
Oh, okay.
But I just thought, I got back to my car and thought, oh, my God.
You've been walk-bullied.
I look like I've been walk-bullied.
I can't believe it.
But yeah. So there you go. It's true. I would have looked less.
Or if you'd have turned around and gone, yes, I am a nonce. Do you mind?
Oh, no, you don't admit that, do you? You don't say that in a car.
They might have left you alone then.
Now, listen to me, sir.
I've only got an hour to get this nonsense done. Can you leave me alone, please?
I am on day release. There's a policeman at the top. I've got a tag on. They give me an hour for a walk before I go back to the nonce unit.
Yeah,
and I beg you to leave me to my own walk.
Yeah.
I have been told to divert around the playgrounds.
Yeah. Exactly.
I am doing as I'm told.
Yeah.
Now, I beg you, this is important nonce time.
Yeah, exactly.
What would they call it?
Noncing free time.
The nonce free time. No, it's the... I am on a nonce dinner break.
Yeah.
And I beg you to respect it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Very good.
So, yeah, that's what happened.
It's all
but we
for
are
that.
A suspicious society.
Do, yeah.
We can't go on together with suspicious minds. We can let nonces walk with suspicious minds.
Oh,
when
God.
Your good friend you know. Goes out
enough,
for a
enough,
stroll.
Enough. Every week we're doing these terrible
He's going
singing
via
interludes.
The park.
Talking of terrible singing interludes, we saw Alan Partridge.
Oh, yeah.
We saw Alan
Partridge.
Partridge
live. Here's the review from Gemma Robinson, Stratagem at the Nottingham Arena, Nottingham.
I have to say, we really enjoyed it.
It was great.
Yeah.
But we are Partridge fans.
Massive
and
Partridge fans.
I think you have to be.
Well, I spoke
to
a few people who had gone and they weren't Partridge fans. I was like, I don't even know why you'd go to that if you weren't a Partridge fan.
That is
fan.
Not... I can understand being plus one at a stand-up gig.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because that's
accessible. But if you're plus one at a character who's been going 15, 20 years...
More than that,
like
30 years.
And characters have got so many in-jokes and nuance and catchphrases, and you're going along as a plus one, that is like someone dragging you along to see Cannibal Corpse and you like classical music.
Yeah.
You'd be like, why have you brought me to this shit?
Yeah. It was good. It was good. I would
The two guys dressed outside were funny.
Oh, yes.
One guy
casual.
Dressed as sports casual, undergrad dressed as Alan Partridge going on a country ramble.
Yeah.
I thought that was excellent attention to detail.
It was good. So, we enjoyed it, didn't we?
I did love it. I loved those certain moments that were really funny when he described the set as inspired by a women's prison, which really made me laugh. When he said when he was a kid and used to build women's prisons out of his Meccano and then do things like, night out, girls.
Yeah.
That really got me.
I feel like I'd need to, you know, when
need to go again.
I keep remembering bits.
Yeah.
And I can't remember it in detail. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was good. And, that bit was funny. I need to see it. I feel like I need to see it again.
Do you want my review?
Go on.
I'll tell you my review.
Go on.
Obviously, you know, I am probably the biggest Partridge fan.
I love it. I love it.
I think we bonded. We met over Partridge. Do people know this?
This is what I said. It was the original.
OG. What does OG mean?
Original.
Original. Because our love blossomed because of Coogan.
Yeah.
Really?
Coogan brought us together.
Sorry, Steve.
Stove.
But it's true because we met because we got talking about a love of Partridge.
Yeah.
And you said, come and watch I'm Alan Partridge in your room. Yes.
No, knowing me, knowing
you.
You
naughty girl. You did that on purpose. No, it wasn't.
It was.
I'm Alan Partridge.
Was it?
Yes.
I thought it was
you said, because I used to say to you, stay there, Sue.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were, but then I'm Alan Partridge was on at the same time.
Yeah.
We used to watch it in your room, didn't we?
Yeah. I love it.
And it was our way of bonding.
I just love Partridge.
So I think, can I just say, I think it was great. I really enjoyed it. I don't like it when Alan sings. Well, I think Alan, just being Alan.
I like the medley.
Yeah, and I know it came from Knowing Me, Knowing You. He used to sing on that. If people are listening to this, they don't know Partridge. This is going to go over their heads. But I like Alan being Alan.
Yeah,
Alan doesn't need to do much to be Alan.
Do you know what though?
The beauty of it is Alan.
Do you know what though? My granddad really thought he was real. So I remember that.
What, doing these interviews? He was like, how could it be so rude?
You know, when Knowing Me, Knowing You was on the telly, I remember he came around for his dinner one night and he says, oh, have you seen this chap? He's awful at interviews, and he absolutely thought it was 100% real.
On the last one of that series, he shoots a man dead.
I don't think my granddad watched all of them.
Imagine him coming round and going, you know that guy who was really bad at interviewing? He shot a man dead.
God.
And nothing happened. He's not even on the news.
Talk of dead.
Wait, let's go back to Coogan.
All right, go on then.
No, the last thing I will say is I don't think he should be singing. Right. I think Alan should just be Alan. But also there needed to be more backstory. I wanted to know more about... Basically, I think Alan, it should be This Is Your Life and Alan just reminiscing. And that would be enough.
I suppose so. But I think at the end of the day, you know when you're doing a show...
You've got to do something.
You feel like you need... They must feel like they need those moments of...
Yeah.
Designing a show, it needs like peaks.
Fun and arena as well.
Yeah, you need to have a bit of razzmatazz, I think.
I think that's why Michael McIntyre started skipping.
Nah.
Because someone said, Michael, you're in an arena and you've got to use the stage. And he was like, I'm going to skip.
Yeah.
And he started skipping. Yeah. And then they were like, that's it, Michael.
Yeah, well done.
You're playing big room comedy now. You're skipping.
We also started saying which comics we've seen in big, big venues.
Yeah.
So obviously we saw Shag Married Annoyed in Nottingham Arena as well. We saw
Peter Kay
in Birmingham.
NIA.
Yep. That was massive, wasn't it?
You have to be a certain... Like McIntyre, Peter Kay, they pull it off in the arena. Yeah. Peter Kay has big musical numbers at the end, though, doesn't he?
He does, you're
And right. McIntyre is the only one that does it as pure stand-up, you know?
But I've not seen him live.
But
haven't you?
Yeah, I think he can fill it.
Yeah.
Because he can... I don't know.
Would you have liked to have seen somebody like Lee Evans live?
Yeah, I think it's the energy.
Yeah.
I think if you can't do it if you're not high energy.
No.
Like Bill Bailey can fill an arena
because
it's an arena show and it's the sound and it sort of suits it.
Yeah.
But you can't imagine going and see someone deadpan like,
you
know, like if Mitch Hedberg was still around or like, I'm trying to think of some guy would be, Emo Phillips or something, in an arena, just stood there. Yeah. Stuart Lee in an arena. It's not going to work, is
it? But also, I did think to myself, it would have been nice. I'd love to see Alan Partridge in a small, intimate venue.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you could actually see, because we were right up in the gods, weren't we, at the back. And, of course, the screens. But sometimes I think, I did end up watching the screens mainly, did you?
Yeah.
To see his facial expressions.
Yeah, because you...
And I think it would be nice to be intimate.
Well, imagine being in the Manchester, in the Frog and Bucket in the 90s, where Steve Coogan used to come and do Paul Carf and Pauline Carf.
It would be incredible.
In the Frog.
Yeah.
He used to just turn up and do it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's like the moments
that
in comedy history.
That would be really
nice. It was really interesting, actually. Just as a side note, Rob Brydon's interview Coogan for his
podcast.
I know,
I want to see it.
I've watched it.
Have you watched it?
Yeah, it's only 15 minutes long.
Great.
It's amazing.
Is it?
Do you know what's really frightening?
Go on.
What's resonates? I watched an interview with Coogan being interviewed by Brydon, and I watched an old interview of Noel Gallagher being interviewed by Mark Lawson.
Right.
You're Nigella's brother. Yeah. You know Mark Lawson?
Yeah, I like him.
And both interviews are amazing.
Yeah.
Do you know there was a moment, and what are you doing with your leg up there? You're right. I'm worried you're going to kick the table. You're comfortable. Sorry. Gemma hates me questioning her position.
I can't believe you're questioning my leg being up.
It just came out of nowhere, a little bit of leg. Right.
Does it affect the pug record?
No, it's just you're very side on. I like it. I might go side on as well. Side saddling.
Oh.
Anyway, he was interviewing them, and what was really frightening, there's a resonating point where both of them, so this is Coogan and Noel Gallagher, were talking about when they were struggling to make it.
Yeah.
And do you know what both of them said?
What?
The thing that fueled them, the thing that got under their skin, was they knew they were good.
Yeah.
And they knew how hard they were working.
Yeah.
And the fact that all that potential and all that possibility could go nowhere drove them mad.
Oh, God.
Drove them to the point of, I have to make this happen.
Oh.
And for Noel Gallagher, it was like, I have to be
Yeah.
One of the biggest rock stars. And yeah. Coogan was like, he could see, like, the Not the 9 o'clock News, yeah. you know, like Fry and Laurie yeah. and Peter Cook and Dudley Moore.
Yeah.
They were one school. And yeah. he said, there's going to be another wave of comics yeah. coming yeah. and another wave of yeah. comedians.
Yeah.
And I've got to be in there.
Yeah.
And that was like Morris,
yeah.
Iannucci, yeah. Patrick Marber,
Smack
him,
the Pony
Smack
Girls.
The Pony, League of Gentlemen.
Yeah.
And he's done it. Mm. And he's in. Mm. And do you know what it did make me think, though, as I was driving? I was like, oh, my God, I can relate to that. Not that I'm saying that it's a yeah. fine line because no one yeah. owes you a living.
No.
But the feeling of working so hard and feeling like you're good at something
yeah.
and it not quite coming together.
Yeah.
Because the arts and comedy is unlike anything else. Because if yeah. you can do a normal job, you can yeah. be good at your job and it doesn't matter because no yeah. one cares.
Yeah.
But the arts requires other people to validate you.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't happen, then it does feel like failure.
Yeah.
So there's a little window. Even when I'm relaxing and enjoying yeah. a podcast with two of my heroes,
yeah.
three of my heroes, Mike Lawson's
yeah.
all right.
Yeah.
But I even can't let go of that anxiety, babe.
No.
So there you go. But...
yeah, it is interesting.
But yeah, it's a really good interview. So check it out.
Rob Brydon's good as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I don't. Well, we don't need to plug them though, because I think they're doing okay.
No, it's not but, that. It's just.
But yeah,
they're
I
so
mean,
good.
Yeah, comedy so heroes, good. Mate. Comedy heroes. So
can you believe you got to meet him?
Can you believe I did a Zoom call with him in the shed?
I know.
I mean,
that's so cool.
Well, I don't think I've mentioned this on the podcast. There was a
go
little
on.
Moment when you were hanging out the washing.
Yeah.
And you could hear his voice yeah. coming out the shed.
I know, it was
you
weird.
Said it was so surreal.
It
you're
was.
Pegging out your washing.
And I can just hear and you can Rob hear Brydon chatting.
A BAFTA Award nominated legend in my shed. Seriously, sometimes I used to end those Zoom calls and go, that didn't happen.
It's weird.
Because it's like meeting your comedy hero
yeah.
and then writing with him and yeah. working with him was the best.
Yeah.
And then there was a real moment when you knew how different our lives were.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I've mentioned this to you before, it still makes me laugh. Because I was chatting to him, we were writing and stuff, and he said, just hold on a minute. And he sort of looked towards his computer and yeah. he said, I'm just checking on the gardeners. Because he had, like, the gardeners were arriving yeah. and he had CCTV,
oh,
so he was checking
wow.
they were, what time they were coming, right? And I really wanted to go, hang on a minute, Rob, I'm just going to check on my gardener. Jem!
yeah.
Jem! Get us a brew, will you? Two sugars. My gardener's just pegging out the washing, Rob.
Yeah.
Hello, Jem.
Yeah.
My
weird,
gardener looks
it?
After me.
So really, your career's sort of gone downhill since that point.
That's the peak.
Yeah, you peaked it, Rob.
Maybe it was the peak. You know, you start to look at things. Maybe the Apollo, working with Rob, maybe that's
yeah.
it, mate.
Yeah.
And if it is, so what?
Yeah.
Still a great thing to say, isn't it?
It is.
So what I'm trying to say is, guys, Scott's now... over, it's over.
This is your swan song.
This is a swan song. Yeah. It's been wonderful.
It's
Let's
been
roll
nice.
The credits.
Yeah.
There's going to be a picture of me in black and white behind my
Hang
head.
Hang up your microphone.
Hang up your microphone. And
cheers, well done.
Put on your dad fit
cheers.
Jeans.
Well
it's
done.
Been a ride, hasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Trish Caller wrote in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Trish Caller runs gigs in Somerset. Check
yeah.
them out. She's very good. And she said, because she's a lovely woman, quite
she
gentle.
Really is.
She said that she had to throw someone out at a gig.
Yes.
Now, if you're a promoter, you don't sign up for that shit.
No, you don't.
It's quite. And she said.
I did think that, actually.
Do you know what made me
she
laugh?
She shouldn't
though?
Have had to do that.
How she said someone had had a bit too much to drink. And
yeah.
it's always a problem when it's one person.
Yeah.
One bell end in a room
oh.
of others.
You've had that so many times.
Well, it poisons the atmosphere. You don't get it when you do big...
Also, other punters are like looking at them like going, dickhead,
can
you're
I...
ruining the show.
There was a moment at the Comedy Store, I don't think I've told you about this, in London. They have bouncers who are amazing.
Yeah.
They are like ninjas.
Yeah.
You don't even know they're there.
No.
But they are. And
yeah.
they're lovely blokes.
Yeah.
They're like legends. Anyway, there was a guy on the front row. It was the late show I was on.
Mm.
And I noticed this girl was like physically uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And this guy was like lolling, and I knew he'd had too much to drink.
Yeah.
And I sort of broke the set because I don't normally break off.
Yeah.
I went, is everything all right? And she went, I don't know who he is. And he keeps trying to put his hand in my handbag.
Ooh.
And I was like, he was like a bit leery and a bit lechy. And I like went, okay then. And anyway, I went to take a drink of water and the bouncers just moved.
Yeah.
And they literally picked him up under his little legs were going. And he was gone.
That was it.
He was there was no...
Dealt with.
Just dealt with.
By the time you'd had a sip
By
of water.
By the time you had a sip of water, I went...
And he was like...
And that's how we deal with that shit here.
Yeah.
At the Comedy Store, we deal with that shit.
And
that's
then, good.
And then, that was it. We just carried on.
How
but,
weird.
But yeah, so she had to deal with it. But then she said, what made me laugh is she said, I went up and gave him a Paddington stare. What's a Paddington stare?
I read that bit. I think what she meant was, do you remember it in the film?
Yeah.
When he stares out, like he does a, like he's not amused there, basically.
Oh, like yeah. She went all...
Yeah, she went Paddington on his ass.
She went all Paddington. Yeah. I'm going to bring... Trish, time to bring out the Paddington.
Yeah, exactly.
She had a little line of marmalade.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
I'm really wheezy.
You a little
line of marmalade.
Yeah.
Just went up there, give him the eyes like that.
Paddington stare.
But yeah, so she said the gig was much better as a result. Now, that's what happens.
Yes.
Do you know the most annoying thing about comedy sometimes?
Yeah.
Is that you have, like, there's a bell end in a gig, and it's tense for the first act, and it's tense for the whole night. And then eventually, when they leave, the audience collectively go, woo! It's like they've been through a trauma. And then the act on at the end gets carried off like Jesus.
Oh, I know.
Because you go like, let's celebrate the dickhead's gone. And then you can reference the dickhead. The dickhead's gone. The dickhead's gone.
It's a bit of a gift,
and it's like, oh, fantastic. And the palpable sense of relief.
Yeah.
You go like, we've been through something together, guys, and we've dealt with the problem.
Exactly.
It does feel like a mini pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
the nightmare is over.
It's camaraderie, isn't it? Together.
Yeah,
like,
we've all suffered together. Yeah. And now this guy's gone. Yeah. We can celebrate, you know. But so she dealt with it. So well done, Trish.
Yeah.
I had a similar thing at the biker rally. I told you about it, didn't I?
No.
So the biker rallies, I did two of them. One week this weekend gone, 1 week before. Yeah. Brilliant gigs. 800 bikers in a Legionella riddled tent, which is probably why I'm wheezing. Absolutely brilliant. Great comedy audience. They do a comedy roadshow that's been going for 30 years.
Yeah.
From 1 till 5.
Yeah.
The compere's a guy called Rick Hulse, who's a biker who makes cocktails, gets hammered. They have to pull him off with a stick sometimes because he goes on, wangs on for 45 minutes. He was mixing cocktails with a dildo, with a vibrator that goes
oh,
around.
Oh, God. Mm. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So he was mixing them like that and then giving them to people. Mm.
That was brilliant.
Can you imagine how funny that looks?
Yeah.
Mm, just bonkers. Anyway, so, but the thing is, they love the comedy.
Yeah.
So there were some new bikers. So the bikers are like the Hells Angels-esque bikers. They're on not Harleys, but the biker, like your, like, you know, like tattoos, leather, rocker, like your dad probably was.
Yeah.
No messing, bearded.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got wives who are bikers.
Yeah.
They're in the gate. They are committed.
Yeah.
Well, three lads turned up, and I would describe them as probably Kawasaki modern bikers.
Okay.
They were like from the super, you know, like they've come from Donington Park.
Yeah.
They had shorts on, rugby tops with the collars turned up,
Oakleys.
And I think they'd wandered into a world they didn't quite understand.
Right.
So they were in this tent and they were talking. They were talking when the show was on.
And one of the acts was on. Yeah.
And one of the bikers stood up, and this is how lovely they are. They said to the lad on stage, "Excuse me, lad, just hold on a minute. Excuse me, lad, just hold on a minute." And they turned to these lads and they went, "Listen, we're listening to the comedy. If you don't want to listen to it, shut the fuck up or I'll fucking slap you."
Oh, God, you're joking.
And the whole tent cheered.
Erupted.
And
oh,
I have never seen them. They put the pints down and just sort of backed out. Just, I could, do you know what? I've never seen three men visually shit themselves.
Oh, Jesus.
It was beautiful. It was justice. And I came on like afterwards and I was like, that was like the Oscars.
Oh,
you know, when the Oscars slap, it was like a wonderful moment. I was like, you all need to be bouncers in comedy clubs because that was, they shut that down.
Oh,
so there is that moment of tension, isn't there, when someone gets removed from somewhere.
Yeah.
Have you had that ever? Like palpable.
Well, you get it.
I suppose it's like a kid at school.
I was just going to say, you get it in a classroom when you get the dickhead in a classroom who's just like, you get obviously the naughty kids who makes everyone laugh and you're like, they love it. They're loving playing up and, you know, or she. But then you also get an annoying, persistent dickhead.
Yeah.
And like Liv will say, oh, you know, so-and-so was so annoying. Just wanted them to, and you just want them taken out. You just want them to leave the room. And as soon as they do, and that's why I think kids respect strict teachers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you want to have a laugh with your teacher, but you also want them to sort out the idiots.
Because you can't do it.
No.
There's that frustration of like, you want to learn, but you can't learn when someone's flicking spit bombs around.
Yeah, yeah. Or just being a persistent knob.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it is it's a bit like a gig, isn't it, really, when you're a teacher?
Way!
Yeah.
Imagine if they did that as you took them out.
Yeah.
Way! Imagine if you had bouncers at school.
You need them in some schools, I'm not joking.
Just stood at the back of the room.
Yeah.
Imagine just marching him out in an headlock. Grab his bag.
I like it when, because some schools, this sort of got a system now where you can radio for sort of support, or you'll say,
for backup.
Yeah, so you just radio, like, code whatever, and they come and just take them out.
Code red.
Take them.
Code red.
Take them.
Class 3C.
Get them out.
Coming through
Why
the
not?
Windows.
Brilliant.
It's a sad state of affairs when you have to radio for backup.
Isn't
yeah,
it? Probably.
Here's a little fun thing I saw on the internet.
Go on.
A little fun thing, a little quick thing. Do you know people say like porn star names?
Yeah.
How you get your porn star name?
Yeah.
Do you want these two? These two really made me laugh.
Go on.
Your rapper name.
Right.
Is Lil.
Yeah.
So Lil.
Lil. Yeah. Lil. Lil.
Plus the last reason you were in hospital.
To have a baby.
Lil Baby.
Lil Baby.
Lil Baby.
That's it.
That's a perfect.
So what was yours?
Lil Testicle.
Lil Testicle Extraction.
Lil Testicle.
Oh.
Lil Ball Bag.
Oh.
Who's on the bill? Snoop Dogg. Lil Baby.
Lil Appendix.
Lil Testicle. I didn't have an appendix.
No, I'm just saying if the last time you went into a hospital to have appendicitis, little appendicitis, it doesn't work.
Do you want another
one? What if you were in for like...
What, little gastric band?
Yeah.
Little gastric band.
Little cardiac arrest.
Little cardiac arrest.
That don't work.
Little long COVID.
Yeah, right.
Little long COVID.
What's the other one?
Labour councillor name.
Right.
This is funny.
Yeah.
Uncle.
Yeah.
Plus the last thing you bought online.
Uncle. Oh, shit, what did we buy?
Uncle garden light. No, that don't work.
It don't work.
It does. Some of them do really work. Uncle Fitbit.
Why is that a Labour councillor?
I don't know why they said Labour councillor.
Uncle.
Uncle, come on, what's the last thing you bought online?
I'm trying to think. I did buy something online.
Uncle Yankee Candle.
No, I didn't buy that.
It doesn't really work, does it?
No.
It worked on the examples they sent.
Oh.
I thought this would be really good fun and it's been a fucking cul-de-sac. This is meant to be like fast, quick.
Oh, I think I bought online vitamins.
Which ones? Come on. Uncle St. John's wort.
Yeah.
Nah.
Don't work.
Crap, innit?
Yeah, that's shit.
You got a Yankee candle for your birthday?
No, I didn't. It wasn't a Yankee candle. It was White Barn.
But someone said it smelt like a...
No, it was my cousin bought it me for my birthday and she says, now, just so you know, Gemma, that this candle smells like a rich man's apartment.
I can't get my head around what they meant with that.
But have you smelled it?
Yeah.
It does smell like a rich man's apartment.
It does. But how define what...
What a rich man's apartment is?
Yeah.
I think lots of mahogany.
What does it look like?
A bit like Frasier's apartment. You know Frasier, the comedy?
Yeah.
You know,
looking over
like,
a city?
Yeah, looking over a city.
Like Rob Lowe in Wayne's World.
Yeah, he stood there with a glass of scotch.
Scotch.
On the rocks.
On the rocks.
There's lots of books and shelves.
I'm a rich man drinking
leather
scotch.
Couch.
Wipe clean.
And the smell of this.
But
rich man's apartment.
It smelled a bit...
It just made me laugh that she said it smells like a rich man's apartment.
I think a rich man's apartment's got
loads. I think... I wish candles were called stuff like that.
Rich man's apartment. I was thinking, is there any others that you could call?
Grandma's sheet drawer.
Grandma's sheet drawer.
Yeah, you know, like the smell of blankets.
Yeah.
It's like a comforting smell.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the inside of mum's handbag.
Inside of mum's handbag. This is an angle.
A new line. It's a new line.
Someone write in with these because we need more
of
these.
Or the armpit of your grandma's jumper. You know when you've had a cuddle off your grandma and it's really soft?
The armpit. Anything armpit is
not
attractive.
Well, okay, not armpit.
You're not going to want to set fire to that.
Or nape of...
Nape?
Nape. The nape of a lover's neck.
Yeah.
You know, like a really nice smell.
You might get really creepy ones.
What?
The girl on the bus.
Or
what about Dinner Lady Tabard?
Yeah. Dinner Lady's Tabard. Oh, you just made me think
smiling
of something.
Smiling dinner ladies,
you know,
tabard.
Do you know what?
When you were a little kid, come and get me in my tabard.
Yeah.
She put your head in her pocket.
Yeah.
You'd cry.
Do you know, Sophie came out of school the other day and said something so funny. She said, I've asked if I can be Minnie Mrs. Shepherd tomorrow.
Minnie Mrs. Shepherd?
Yeah. And I said,
Who's Minnie Mrs. Shepherd?
I said, what the hell's a Minnie Mrs. Shepherd? She says, well, you're like Mrs. Shepherd, but you're littler.
I love it.
And so what they
do... Like a shrunken shepherd.
Yeah, no, Miss Shepherd is the dinner lady. Right. So you can request to be Mini Mrs. Shepherd.
And you MMS.
You wear a little tabard, like a dinner lady.
Get out.
And you get to say who goes into dinner fucking and stuff. Hell, that's so Sophia was so excited.
For she a said, kid, that blows your
I'm
mind.
I'm going to be Mini Mrs. Shepherd tomorrow.
She got a little hairnet on.
I don't
Is she Mini Mrs. Shepherd today?
No, it was last week.
How did Mini Mrs. Shepherd go?
It was great. She says it was so
Was she
good.
Taking bungs to who goes then, in the line first? You know, like the nod towards Sophia. Sophia, yeah, I'm really hungry.
Cut me in at the front.
Listen,
yeah.
Mini Mrs. Shepherd
yeah.
will not be
no,
bribed.
No, will not be bribed.
Will not be bribed.
But what made me laugh was, oh, I can't remember what I was going to say now. You interrupted me.
Just thought of another smell.
What?
Granddad's pipe.
Yeah. I loved my granddad's pipe.
It's got a double meaning.
Well, you know my granddad was granddad with a pipe and mints. That's
yeah.
because he always had a pipe and a packet of little tree ball mints in his top pocket.
Chewing.
So he was granddad with a pipe and mints.
Chewing tobacco smelt amazing.
And my other granddad was granddad with the Mandy, because he had a dog called Mandy.
I always thought, when you said that,
yeah.
I always thought he used to see an escort called Mandy.
Mandy, no, granddad with a Mandy.
Granddad with a Mandy, every
and
Wednesday.
Granddad with a pipe and mints.
So go on. Go.
And I loved, I don't particularly like the smell of, no, I do like cigar smell.
Do you know what the other one?
I don't like cigarette smell, but I like cigar smell and I like pipe smell.
Can I think of another candle?
Go on.
Youth smoking weed behind Aldi.
Lovely. I'd buy that.
Buy that.
I'd easily buy that.
I think we're onto something here.
Yeah.
I think this is the thing. Every week we need to come up...
Fresh cut grass candle.
Yeah. But I think we need to come up with more...
Obscure
ones.
Yeah.
Oh. Inside of an Uber.
No.
Shit, that, isn't
the
it?
Smell of...
Sorry.
...of scream wash when you're in the car behind the squirter.
You know, put that on your list, squirter.
Yeah, you know when somebody squirted there and you've got your windows open and you get a whiff of their nicely scented
alcohol.
Screen wash. It's nice.
I used to love the smell of meths. Do you remember purple meths?
Yeah.
Purple meths.
Yeah.
Purple meths.
Yeah. Oh, Prince was good, wasn't he?
Purple meths. Purple meths. Bow,
bow. Could you be? Did we do this last week?
The most beautiful meths in the world.
You're a bit squeaky, aren't you?
Meths was better than white spirit. Do you know my dad used to, because he was a decorator,
yeah.
he used to have meths and white spirit on a
yeah.
on a shelf.
Yeah.
And he always used to say, don't drink that.
No.
He used to tell me.
Obviously.
But when, you know, when I was a kid, I used to smell it.
Oh, God.
I used to take the lids off.
I thought you were going
to
say I drank it.
No, I used to smell the meth.
Oh, I've just deleted something I didn't want to delete.
Just don't, listen to me. Don't wait till the feature's finished before you start twatting with your phone.
Hang on. Oh, no.
What are you doing?
I just deleted something.
That's really annoying, that. That's killed that bit. What are you doing on your phone? Put your phone away. What are you doing, Gemma?
I was just looking at something I've deleted.
What?
I don't know what it was.
Just put your phone down. We're still talking.
I know. Sorry.
You've killed that bit. Fucking annoyed about that. That's rude.
Sorry.
Put your phone away.
Okay.
I think we need to get people to write in. Give us some ideas for smells.
Yeah.
Mini Mrs. Shepherd. Is it only Mini Mrs. Shepherd who's got a mini?
Yeah.
Do you know what it is as a kid? Being in that elevated bit of power is amazing. Because I used to remember... Being a helper, anything like taking the register, anything like giving out the milk, you feel like you've got that sort of sense of power.
Mm.
Does she make them wash their hands? Do they have to check hands still when they go into the hall?
Oh, I don't know.
So she decides who goes where on the line.
Mm.
Mini Mrs. Shepherd.
I know.
I want to be a Mini Mrs. Shepherd.
I know.
This week's mundane task is taking the tissues out of your pockets before you put your stuff into the washing machine.
You said that. Do I do that a lot?
Oh, my God. Well, I have to say, somebody sent this in, a listener, Hannah. Thank you so much for sending that in. And I so agreed with it when I read it. I was like, oh, my God, this is so annoying. And sometimes I annoy myself because I forget to check. But... it's annoying because I'm not usually the person who's done it. It'll be either one of the kids because they smuggle stuff into their pockets all the time.
Lives a little pocket squirrel.
Oh,
she's like feathering a nest.
Yeah, it can sometimes even be things like packets, like sweet wrappers or whatever. You just don't want anything like that getting in your washing stuff. But it's always a dark wash. It's always black stuff with then the white fluff all over it. And then you not only have to retrieve, you have to wash stuff again because of all the white fluff all over it, but then you have to go in the pocket where the guilty tissue is.
The guilty tissue. I mean, that means something totally different to a 15-year-old boy.
Oh, my God. Well, don't even go there on that either. And then you have to, like, it's almost like, I imagine, you know, in the war, soldiers had to burn ticks out of the seams of their uniform.
Wow.
Did you know this?
That was not where I thought this was going.
Yeah. So basically, ticks used to secrete themselves into the seams and they used to burn them out.
Right.
And it's
set
like,
fire to the seams.
Yeah. So, and then the tissue is so welded into the seam of your, it's just minging.
So what you're saying is we've got to set fire to us washing.
Yeah. And in fact, if anybody's got a technique for removing, I might try next time, you reverse the pocket out, so turn it inside out, get a lint roller, roll it over the offending pocket, and I think that should sort it out.
But one tissue, one tiny bit of tissue, sears through your washing like
it causes
anthrax.
So much damage.
It
so
is
much damage.
Lethal.
But I think that's the same with, like, if you spill something. Right. So you can have literally 20 mils of fluid in a cup.
Yeah.
So that's like nothing.
Yeah.
You spill that bad boy on the floor, it looks like you spilled three pints.
It multiplies.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So you're right. So white tissue in a pocket. Please check your pockets before you put stuff into your washing machine, everybody.
Yeah.
Because you will thank me later. Well, you'll thank Hannah, actually. Thanks for writing in, Hannah.
And if not, burn your seams.
Yeah. And do look for ticks as well.
I think I'd rather have ticks than tissue.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I would.
Ticks rather than tissue. Yeah, I really would.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
So annoying.
So there you go. That's this week's mundane task.
Yeah.
Tissue secretion in washing.
And write in with any other suggestions, folks.
I still do it as an adult. I think you sometimes have to say to me, you shout up the stairs, pockets.
Yeah, I do.
Pockets.
And also, just while we're on annoying stuff secreted in clothing before you put it in the wash, unravel socks, take pants out of trouser legs, help us out, folks, undo buttons on shirts.
You said to me, though, I can roll, when I take my underpants off at night, because I get in bed and I take my pants off, I can get them off, but they roll into like,
it's like
it looks like, do you know what it looks like? Yeah. It looks like a catapult.
No, it looks like an unopened condom. It's like you've rolled it down your body.
That's a skill, isn't it?
And it's annoying. It's not a skill. It's bloody annoying.
I think it
annoying.
Is a skill because I actually...
Then I have to unravel skanky kecks.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Awful.
They're like wound. It's like it's been on a machine.
Yeah.
I don't even know how I do that.
Mm.
I don't know how to do it.
I don't mind washing your clothes, but I don't want the extra challenge of unravelling clothing and removing tissue.
Can I say as a final point, I think this, where it came from is as a kid, I think I used to practice in the bathroom.
Flicking them up on your foot.
I used to let them roll down.
And then foot.
Like Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
Very rigid.
Yeah.
Brace the core.
Yeah.
Let it roll down. Always on the right foot, never on the left. I wasn't a left-footed pant player.
No.
And then
volley
just
into
lift
the basket.
Volley into the basket, off the backboard. Rest of the
brilliant.
Day was great.
Brilliant.
So I think what this is an adult equivalent of rolling out the duvet and I drop them off. I let the leg go down the bed.
Yeah.
I drop them off. I go, there you go, little boy.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Have a lovely
night. Extraction as well.
And leave it on the floor like a little prize. So there you go. So tissue.
Yeah.
Tissue warning there for
just
everyone.
Just think of people who have to,
And I'm sorry, I will make an effort
make
now.
Make a second thought for
what
those
I will
who
do
have
is,
to get rid of tissue.
Instead of letting the plants roll down, I'll wake
plants.
You up. Plants. I'll wake you up.
Yeah.
I'll stand at the other corner of the room. I will fire them straight into your face.
Yeah.
How does that sound?
Sing it, sister.
Why are companies so needy now, these days?
What are you talking about?
Got an email from people who sell ink cartridges.
Oh.
And it said...
Was it...
This is genuinely...
Was it Tina at...
Tina from
Cartridges Are Us?
No, it was literally... Do you know what pisses me off?
Go on.
It's like that when we talked about this before, the over-familiarity. Like when someone rings you up and goes, hey, mate.
No, don't do that.
Do you know what I got in an email?
Go on.
Hello, stranger.
Oh.
Then it said... It's been a while since you shopped with us. Is everything okay?
Oh,
they're
God.
Fucked. Do you know what I feel like writing back and going?
Go on.
No, I'm questioning life and whether, you know, the futility of mortality. Can you help with that? Or you're trying to sell me cartridges?
Exactly.
You're not here to help with my life. You're here to sell me ink at an overinflated price.
That's like when you get those phone calls about, have you been in an accident? You go, yeah, I have. Yeah. How did you know?
Stubbed my toe.
Today?
Yeah. Oh. Just now?
Yeah.
Literally now.
And that literally just like, I love as well, sometimes.
Oh, do you know what I would say? Have you been in an accident? No, but hold the line, because one's bound to happen in the next 40 years.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good one. Like, oh, I like that one.
Yeah.
Or when they ring up to sell me something, I click answer and I just don't say anything.
Oh,
I just hold it there for ages and I can hear them going, hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
And I just love it.
Do you know what I tend to do? I say, it's not very convenient at the moment. They said, well, you'd like to ring us back. I said, no, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you. Can I take your number and ring you back at 8 this evening?
Yeah.
I finish at 5. Oh, so is that your free time? Yeah. So therefore, it's not convenient for you. Ah, goodbye.
Oh, we're horrible.
You know, I'm not.
It's just people's jobs.
No, but this email, this isn't
do that job,
this
though.
Isn't their job.
No.
This is a company strategy to try and be over familiar and make you feel guilty to sell you ink.
No, but
what's wrong with these people?
Right.
Do you know what really annoys me is? If what? Selling ink was like some sort of way of making me feel better about my life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they were dealing drugs via Gmail and they went, hello, stranger, how are you feeling? I'm feeling a bit low. Do you want a hit? Yes, please. They'd solve the problem in a weird way. But this sort of need... Do you know the other one is when you buy something off Amazon.
Yeah.
And they go, was everything all right? Give us your feedback. It was some fucking highlighters, mate.
Yeah, I know.
I haven't got time in my life for this.
No.
They highlighted.
Yeah.
Is that good enough?
Yeah.
Do you want me to give you a paragraph on how they've changed my life?
No, I know.
I was quite bleak until these highlighters, and they brought colour into my otherwise dull world.
Yeah. Well,
what's with this now? This is a trend.
But let's just say we're in a marketing meeting now, okay? Yeah. And we're going to try and establish.
We've got a Yankee Candle going. Do you know what that one smells of?
What?
Ambition and prospects.
Say it, don't spray it.
Yeah. We've lit the candle of dreams.
Let's just say we're in a marketing meeting selling something useless.
Yeah, come on.
What would be the best way to approach?
We're selling letterbox draft excluders.
I mean, how do you start an email then? What's the best? What would be an email that you would respond to?
Hey, madam. Listen.
No.
Hello. You got a drafty box? Question mark.
No, you wouldn't respond to this. Honestly, I'm being serious. What would you respond to as an email? What would entice you to respond?
Hello, dickhead. Ironically, it probably would.
Do you think it would get your attention?
It certainly would get my attention.
Or what about...
Be like, oh, it's a bit of feedback.
What if you did an ironic email, so you sort of said, do not read this email.
Yeah.
Do not buy our products.
Yeah.
No, do not click on this link. Do not.
I think...
Do you think that would work, like reverse psychology?
It's very difficult, isn't it, to make... You're right, in a weird way. They're doing this to write... Because I've now noticed it.
Yeah.
So it's worked.
Yeah.
Because they went... Hello, stranger.
Yeah, because it annoyed you.
Everything okay?
Yeah, you're like, damn you.
Fucking bastard.
Who are you saying calling a stranger?
And I read it because I was so annoyed.
Yeah.
You're right. There's no way of going offer because that gets ignored.
Yeah.
I think you need to say something controversial. Like something like, you know, like, I don't know, maybe just a line from an erotic novel.
Oh.
Like it starts by saying, and he parted a pink love mound. And that's the title, Parting a Pink Love Mound. Parting a Pink Love Mound.
You'd definitely click on that.
You'd click on that.
Wouldn't you?
Well, no, because you might think it's spam. So you're knackered now.
And if you're at work, clicking on a
Not pink, safe for work,
If you were parting a pink love mound at work.
Imagine that, and your boss came over and went, why did you click on parting a pink love mound? It's my car insurance. They like a laugh.
I thought it was a tractor.
Yeah, very clever. Good callback.
Yeah, thanks.
No, you'd be ploughing a pink mound. But I think it's weird because you've hit on something there.
Yeah.
They are trying to get me to read
them.
Well,
do you know what?
How would you read them? Write in. Let us know. What would you open? We've had to get our life insurance done.
Yeah.
Haven't we?
Yeah.
Renewed.
Yeah.
And that is a bleak conversation. I had a conversation with the guy and I felt like coming off the phone and going, well, thank you, mate.
Yeah.
He says, like, right, here's the scenario, okay? Mm. You can take joint policies.
Yeah.
But what would happen if you're both in the car?
Yeah.
You both get wiped out.
Yeah.
What happens then?
Yeah.
Mate, can we not do this? It's 2 o'clock on a Wednesday.
I know.
You know, then you're writing a will. Yeah. Any history of depression? Mm. Yes. When did it start? Same time as this phone call. That's when it started.
Do you know, last night, Sophia said to me, I feel bad about this.
Oh, she's got so many little things.
No, listen, just listen. I feel bad about this. I said, what? What am I about to say? And I said, well, don't say it then. And she went, but I feel like I've got to say it. And I was like, all right. And she says, I think your nose does look a little bit like Pinocchio's. And she went, oh, I've hurt your feelings, haven't I? And I said, well, not really.
It doesn't look like Pinocchio's.
Well, I did argue that. I said, Pinocchio's is like a big sausage.
Pinocchio's got a nice nose.
But she just meant this.
Sorry,
this
you've got a lovely nose.
Here. And I was like, don't worry about it. It's fine. I said, obviously don't go around perhaps saying to other people their
Mum's
physical traits.
Oh, right.
But I said, you can say that to Mum.
Ears like Dumbo.
Yeah,
nose like Pinocchio.
Yeah,
mouth like the Joker.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't know why she felt the need to say it. And also she went, I feel bad about it. And I said, what? Sometimes when you laugh in public, you do sound like a witch and it embarrasses me.
Well, I'm 100% with her there.
And
mate.
I was like, I said, do you know what, Soph? I said, I don't care.
I love your laugh.
I don't care.
Your laugh is amazing.
But isn't it funny how she gets stressed about stuff like
that? What was the other thing she said to you this morning that you told us?
No, this was last night as well. She said, I said, I love you. And she said,
her brain at the moment is mental.
Mental.
It's like a forest
well,
of
she is our
fear.
Child, love. She's got no hope. But she said, I said, I love you. And she said, I think I love you. I don't know. And I went, you do love me. And she went, yeah, but what if I don't know if I do.
I don't know if
I
love you.
Yeah, and I said, you do love me. I said, I'm telling you now, you love me.
Imagine. Imagine how that sounded to someone outside.
I
am telling you now.
Yeah,
you
absolutely 100% love me.
Yeah.
You love me so much.
Well, I've got a Sophia moment.
Go on.
We were playing a video game. We were playing Tekken 3, proper retro game.
Yeah.
And she pressed pause and she went, it's really good this, isn't it? And I went, yeah. And she says, you know when you go away?
Yeah.
And I went, what do you mean go away? To work? And she went, no. You know when you...
Oh, die.
Pass, go away.
Yeah.
And I went, yeah. She went, I'll always remember this moment.
Oh,
I was like, oh mate,
God.
We're trying to play Tekken.
She's done loads of them with
me. Can you stop it?
Yeah, she does loads of them
with me. I've come off the back of writing a will and doing life insurance, having a little bit of a downtime playing Tekken.
Oh,
I've been fighting her on a game.
I know.
And then she turns around and goes, I will always remember this moment.
Are we paying him?
Yeah.
No.
No, he's doing it for royalties.
Okay. So, bonjour. Salut.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Ça va? Right, this week we are doing les passe-temps hobbies.
Right.
I've got a feeling you're going to do well on this.
Well, let's just see. I was too overconfident last week.
You bombed.
Absolutely bombed, didn't I?
Yeah. Anyway, here we go. Numéro un.
Right.
Je fais de la natation.
Deux fois par semaine.
Ah!
Swimming. I go swimming.
Swimming, good.
I go swimming.
Numéro deux. Je joue au ping-pong.
Table tennis.
Oh.
We're so easy
smashing
now.
Smashing it.
Forrest
smashing
Gump's
it.
Favourite sport.
Numéro trois.
Yeah?
Je lis. Je lis.
Je lis.
Mm.
That was meant to sound
c'est
less
like
canard.
A... C'est un canard. That sounded like a duck.
Lee.
Je lis.
Tennis.
No, that's je joue au tennis. I read. Reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. Numéro 4. Je joue de la guitare.
I play the guitar.
Easy. Numéro 5. Je cours.
Singing.
Mm-mm.
Core. Drawing.
Mm-mm. Fuck it. You do this hobby.
Core.
Je cours.
Speaking. Comedy.
Is that a hobby?
No.
No.
Mowing the lawn.
You do not mow the lawn.
Drawing.
I do that.
Lego.
I run.
Cooking.
I run.
Running.
Running. Je cours.
Je cours.
So you scored 3 out of 5.
Ooh. 2-1. It's a 2-1.
Pierre. Thank you.
I saw this story in the paper. A man has, it's an unbelievable story. There's a documentary coming on, a man who lived with 6 years with a penis grafted to his arm.
Why?
Right. Basically, what happened, Malcolm McDonald's original penis fell off.
How?
There was an infection. So it became infected due to sepsis, right?
Ooh.
And it fell off in the bath.
Oh, God.
Threw it in the bin. Or he went to the toilet, sorry, he said it fell off. And the doctors have built him a new penis.
Wow.
How good are doctors? Incredible. You know, like that mouse with the ear on its back?
Yeah.
They have to do a new penis.
Right.
But in the short term, you couldn't just put it where it should be.
No,
he had to put it to keep it alive.
Yeah.
So they used to put it on his arm.
Right.
So he said here, it's 6 inches. He's got 2 inches longer than his original one. I love that.
Well,
it's
you
like an iPhone.
One,
if you're going to upgrade it, mate.
Yeah.
Update
just pop
it.
A bit on.
The penis was grafted to his arm to maintain blood supply. He described once how it fell out of his sleeve while shopping.
Oh, God.
And he even hit family members in the face while hugging them.
Oh, God.
Malcolm, your cock's just hit me in the eye.
Whereabouts on his arm? Because in the summer.
Here.
Oh, God. So he would have it out in the summer.
But imagine that.
You could, a big willy hanging out of his...
You can teabag someone when you're making them a tea.
Oh.
It's sort of just... Imagine that. Like, you know when
there's no testicles.
No, just the... But when someone says, have you got time on your cock?
Yeah.
In Yorkshire. You got time on your cock? I'll just have a look.
Yeah.
Ooh, imagine that, just the little bell end popping out the sleeve.
Oh. What, did they create a bell end?
Every time his arm got excited, his shirt would go up.
I don't know how you create a penis.
He said, here,
it
look,
surely doesn't have all
he
the
said, I, listen
function
to this quote.
Of a normal penis.
This quote's amazing. He's got such a lovely attitude to it, right? I fucking slapped myself in the... let me read it. It's hard to get through because it's so funny. Listen.
Yeah.
I fucking slapped myself in the eye with it. It's a dead weight. When you cuddle your nan at Christmas, you hit her in the eye, he said. It also explained that if he tried to use the back burners on his stove...
he catches it.
While using the front ones, his penis gets burnt.
Oh, dear.
On the plus side, Malcolm is a keen darts player, and he uses the penis to hold the darts he's not using, sandwiching them between the organ and the arm. Imagine playing darts with him down the pub.
Yeah.
He's got them on his arm like that.
Yeah. I suppose it could be a handy little holding of something.
I mean, if you were... The thing is, he said here, basically, his penis has now been reattached.
Yeah.
He's able to urinate with it. And he says here, the first thing I did, as I looked down, and I thought, oh, my days, they've got it right this time. I mean, yeah, they've put it on your arm, mate.
Oh.
Do you know what it's like? It's like a really fucked up pin the tail on the donkey.
It really is.
But he said here, one of the memorable lines, McDonald, who has struggled with drink and drug addiction, said, 6 years on with a cock on my arm, something to tell the grandchildren, isn't it? He had 6 years with a cock on his arm. And you've had 20-odd years with a cock on yours. And you married him.
Oh, God. Very good.
A woman in Peru, at a funeral, imagine this, all the family round, doing the ceremony, they bring the coffin through, she knocks on the coffin.
Still alive.
Still alive.
Wow.
Open up the coffin, eyes open.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
She wasn't dead.
Good God.
Now,
what am I stuck at the Mecca?
I often think, what would be your first thing that you would say at your funeral if you were... If you could sit up at your own funeral, what would you do straight away? What would be your first thing?
Oh, God, I don't know. Why, what would you do?
How much was that buffet?
I do love a wake buffet.
I love a wake buffet. Does it feel bad to eat food?
No, because I think it's the only thing we can do. It's just like, oh, let's tuck in.
I always think that. I've been to some funerals and you can smash through the buffet more than you can at a wedding because people haven't got as much of an appetite.
Well, not just that. It's so just like...
It's less stigma.
We don't want to stand being completely morbid, so let's just enjoy the food.
As long as you have, like, every time in between a sausage roll, you go, they're a great person.
Yeah.
And we really miss it.
Can I have another slice of the quiche? Yeah.
Oh, do you know what? A heart of gold she had. She had a heart of gold.
Yeah.
Is there any more Vol-au-Vents?
Yeah.
Because you can't, you can't, you're right, you know.
Are they bringing out the profiteroles yet?
Is there anything sweet?
Yeah.
Is it free bar?
Mm.
Free bar, brilliant person. Brilliant, free bar.
Mm.
I think you're right, you know, because I think at a wedding, there's more people's eyes on you. If you're at a funeral, it's a little bit off-piste, isn't it?
Mm.
If you can eat a funeral,
mm.
it is a little bit bad. I think it is a bit bad when they're all on about it and you're smashing through a massive plate of chicken legs.
No.
It's what he would have wanted.
Yeah,
not.
Exactly. I think it is expected.
But I would love it if she'd have sat up and said, you know.
You do hear of that, though, when they do misdiagnose.
Well, it says...
what would you say? Miscertify.
Just sit up in the coffin.
No, I've not. I don't think I've heard of that before. Yeah. But
I'd be like, why are they here as well?
Yeah.
We didn't like them. I didn't like them when I was alive.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine going down the things. These two shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
I never saw these. This is the first time you've turned up.
What are you doing here?
Imagine telling people off. What do you think you're doing here? You still owe me that tenner, you prick.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Yeah. Do you know that is a really good way of settling old scores?
But I mean,
pretend fake your death.
Yeah.
Wait, it's a long game. Wait for the funeral.
Mm.
Open the coffin. Start taking people
well,
down.
I think on a serious note, it does make you think, like, because I do have sometimes very morbid thoughts, and I think
you have dark thoughts, Gemma.
You should say what needs to be said. If you really value somebody, say it now, because it's no good because they're not going to hear it when they're dead.
Well,
so say it today. Tell them today.
To that respect, Gemma.
Yeah,
you are everything. You smell like a rich man's apartment. You've changed my life for the better.
And
I will be lost without you.
And you're going to buy me a lovely lunch.
I'm going to buy you a lovely lunch.
Because I won't be able to enjoy that wake buffet.
You can have anything you like from the Greg's counter.
Yeah.
A lovely... I'll even treat you to a little...
Even throw in a donut.
Caramel donut.
Yeah, thank you.
So that's what I think of you,
Gemma.
Bird's
best cob.
Are you going to return the favour?
Oh, yeah. You're a wonderful man. And you're very funny. And I love you.
That's it, is it?
Yeah.
That would be the wake, would it?
I tell you what, as well.
That's a bit disappointing.
Now, I'm going to make
mate.
A promise now. When I have a kitchen again, I'm going to make you a lovely roast.
Ooh.
A roast dinner. Can't wait to cook.
That's not in the eulogy. You're saying things you should say to someone now.
Right.
You can't say in the eulogy.
I'm going to make you a roast dinner.
When I see him, I'm going to make. Because that sounds like I've gone to hell as well. When I see him, I'm going to use the heat.
Yeah.
Make him
a roast dinner.
No, I said things from the heart. Come on. Mm. What would you say that you...
I'm never very good at this. Sort of thing.
Just say he was reliable. He paid the mortgage.
Yeah. I'll give him that. He worked hard. Worked himself to death, the poor lad.
Worked himself to death, paid the mortgage. And...
He had lovely hair.
He had lovely...
Hairy arms.
Oh, he had great hair.
Yeah.
I did have good hair.
Yeah.
Talking about me.
Yeah.
Do you know what? He had a cracking head of hair.
Good legs.
That's really bad when they have
very
to...
ugly feet. Very ugly feet.
He never kept on top of those toenails. Do you know what's really weird? Is if your eulogy is things like that, you're just scraping the barrel, aren't you?
I know.
He had a really good taste in slippers.
Mm.
And I always remember his hair.
Mm.
His thick hair.
Mm.
We'd see that hair coming above the fence. Yeah. I knew when he was coming down the side of the fence and he'd... Bouffon bobbing.
Yeah.
I thought, he's got good genes, that lad.
Yeah.
So, as we wave the coffin off, nothing else.
Oh,
as we wave the coffin off, what we...
I could actually cut all your hair off and keep like a wig, a Scott wig of hair.
You know, like...
Just have it in the
Olivia's
corner on a little
got
mannequin.
Those wigs for Comic-Con.
Just have a little head.
A little head.
Well, you know, you wouldn't want to go full on taxidermy of like a stuffed Scott in the corner.
That would be creepy as fuck. What, in the chair?
Yeah, but I'm just thinking if I kept your hair...
A stuffed Scott?
Yeah, kept your hair as a wig.
Yeah. Imagine if he did stuff me and then left me in the Kia on the driveway.
I know.
It's where he spent most of his time.
Yeah. No, I'll put you in the shed.
In the shed?
Yeah.
A little shrine.
Little shrine of the shed.
So, Gemma, what we got planned today? What's happening now?
I've got to prepare for a French lesson I'm teaching after school.
Ooh.
And I've got to email the school, and I need some lunch, and I need to... That's about it, really.
So what are you teaching?
Probably go to the laundrette, because I've got no washing machine. Need to do some
washing.
Oh, it's
gone, is that? Because they're fitting the utility.
Yeah.
We're back to no appliances.
Yeah.
So what are you teaching? Just French?
French, yeah. At an after-school club.
Are you going to do a vocab test? Is this
quite
warmed
possibly,
you up?
Quite possibly.
Are you going to have Pierre in the background?
Yeah.
Should be excellent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll go. We're going to, whatever you're doing, have a lovely day.
Yes, have a lovely
have a nice Sunday.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm going to be doing this
go
time
on.
Next Sunday? I'm going to be on stage in Melbourne, not Australia.
Is that today? The 15th?
The 15th.
Yes.
In Derbyshire.
Yes.
With Johnny Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Brilliant. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Johnny Vegas, Raymond and Timkins Review, in a place in Melbourne, not Australia, Derbyshire.
Wonderful.
Going to be amazing.
Have a great
Just
gig.
The Tonic tickets are available. I think they are. Probably sold out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Never worked with Johnny before. Quite excited.
I bet.
It's one of those where I think I'll probably forget that I've got to go on stage because I'll be watching him. He's comparing.
Brilliant. That's really
Hard
cool.
Hard to follow though, isn't it?
Yeah. No, well, it's good. It's great. It will lift the gig.
It's someone said with comparing, it's not for them to lower the bar. It's for you to raise your game.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is the truth.
That's indeed
so true. Whatever you're doing, I hope you have a wonderful day. Gemma, do you want to sign off?
Yeah, you've been listening to Brew with the Bennetts. Please do get in touch on Instagram or Twitter at BWTBpod, or you can contact us on the email, which is BWTBpod@gmail.com.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Lovely to speak to you
all.
Take care, all of you.
Take care. Get in touch, like, review, subscribe, buy tickets for the tour, all that bollocks. And do drop us a line, say hello. Get us to know your smells, your candle smells.
Oh yeah,
we want to know more candle spells. I've got
smells.
I've got one
smells.
Now I've got one.
You keep saying spells.
Bored wife. That's the one I'm smelling right now.
Oh my god. Happy Sunday, everybody.
Happy Sunday. We will see you next week. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye bye.
Tune in, it's Sunday morning.